Beloved, according to Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, I love the book of Titus. It's a book that the false grace teachers like to purposely stay away from. In fact, most of their students, their misled students, don't even know what it says. Okay? Listen to what he says in the third chapter, verse 7 and 8. Titus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You see, according to Titus 3, 7 and 8, by the grace of God we are made heirs or inheritors of eternal life. Actually, verse 6 should be included there too. We're made ready to go to heaven and to do good works now in this life on this earth. He had just said in the second chapter that the grace of God that has appeared to all men, Titus 2, 11 and 12, that the grace of God that has appeared to all men. How many people has the grace of God appeared to? All men. Okay. It bringeth salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Not some men, but all men. God so loved the whole world, amen, that he gave his only begotten son for the whole world. And then he says in verse 12, the Holy Spirit, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world now, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all, not some, but all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And based on this passage, it justifies the rebuke of those who would believe or teach the lie of lasciviousness. The grace of God, the Bible says right here in Titus 2, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And our posture is that we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. For what reason? That he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Bible actually goes, God goes out of his way to sanction and mandate that those who teach otherwise be rebuked, right here in verse 15 of Titus 2. God's grace actively works in the true believer. Listen to Paul's words, 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. See, the grace of God was laboring in him, because he was abiding in Christ. He was keeping under his body. He had just said that in a few chapters before, chapter 9, verse 27 of 1 Corinthians. You see, this isn't just to anybody that's been truly saved in the past. This is to people that are keeping under their body daily, denying themselves, taking up the cross and following Jesus. That's what Jesus taught. You got to do it daily. Luke 9, 23 and 24. If your walk with God is not daily, it's not at all. The Lord's word doesn't reveal a human responsibility without the accompaniment of God's grace. In Scripture, there's always God's part and then man's part, you see. And if you remove one, or you diminish aught from either one of them, beginning with God's initiating grace, but also including man's free moral agency that God gave him and his ability to choose, then you are going to come out with false teaching. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, not work for, but work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't it amazing how clear a picture we see of the real grace of God and our personal responsibilities when simply looking into God's word for ourselves as Jesus intends us to do? It becomes crystal clear, doesn't it? We also begin to see how the false teachers who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness have taught a perverted grace that has no biblical reconciliation whatsoever. They teach a no fear of God grace, which fosters irresponsibility and sinful living instead of the fear of the Lord. Holiness and circumspectness of life are not tended to, but rather a false grace in which volumes of Scripture is intentionally left out of the equation. These deceivers are easy to detect once God's holy word begins to take root in our hearts through personal study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Many of the false teachers we hear go on and on and on and on with little scripture, much less in-depth and true contextual biblical exegesis or expounding. They are clearly preaching another gospel, and according to the Holy Ghost, utterly accursed. Galatians 1:6-9. They're utterly accursed. These men so blatantly leave out certain Bible texts, intentionally that is too, and verses which paint a far different picture than they wish to paint. See, the scriptures paint a different picture than these men wish to paint, because they want to manipulate the people to be happy, to be feeling good about themselves, and to be giving them money and playing into their little church program, because that's what it's all about to them. It's not about Christ. It's about their little church business. For example, watch closely at how they purposely leave out verses like this. Listen to 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Okay, let me read it again. 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jude boldly told us and tells us that such who teach this lie of lasciviousness as false teachers, who are, they're ungodly men. As you can see by now, this Jude passage is the theme text of this whole writing, or this whole series, a whole writing of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation concerning this particular doctrine. I suppose that we all could use some catching up on, don't you? We have heard all of the other verses on grace for so long at the expense of the whole truth of God. That's unfortunate. And it's time for us to put our own oar in the water of God's word and begin to study all of it, wade through all of it personally. The phrase that Jude uses, "it was needful for me to write unto you," quote unquote, clearly reveals a real and present danger. Okay? It was very needful, and it's needful now to us to take heed to this truth of the grace of God concerning what he called the fruit of a cheap grace, quote unquote. John Wesley wrote this. Listen to what John Wesley wrote. This is really, really good discourse. John Wesley, concerning the fruits of cheap grace, wrote this: "For wherever this doctrine of easy grace is received, it leaves no place for holiness. It forbids all such exhortations as might excite a desire for holiness. Nay, it makes men afraid of personal holiness, afraid of cherishing any thought of it, for they fear that any step toward holiness might be a denial of the faith and a rejection of Christ and his righteousness, so that instead of being zealous for good works are a stench to their nostrils. In short, they are infinitely more afraid of the works of God than the works of the devil. Here's Satan. Here is Satan's masterpiece. Notice, John Wesley says, here is Satan's masterpiece. We continue with quoting from John Wesley. He says, we are to believe that men are holy without a grain of holiness in them. Holiness in Christ, or holy in Christ, however unholy in themselves. They are supposedly in Christ, although they have not one jot of the mind that was in Christ. They are complete in Him, so they say, although they are as proud, as vain, as covetous, as lustful as ever. They think they can continue in unrighteousness because Christ has, quote, fulfilled all righteousness, unquote. O ye simple one, do not be deceived. For as surely as the Lord lives, neither, quote, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Quote, such, unquote, indeed were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, as well as justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You are really changed. You are not only accounted as righteous, you are made righteous. The inward power of the Spirit has made you free, really, actually free, from the law or power of sin and death. Romans 8:2. This is liberty, true gospel liberty, experienced by every true believer. This is not freedom from the law of God or the works of God, but from the law of sin and the works of the devil. See that you stand fast in this real, not imaginary, liberty. Take heed that you, quote, be not entangled again, unquote, by means of these vain boasters, quote, in the yoke of, unquote, that vile bondage of sin from which you have cleanly escaped. Galatians 5:1. I testify unto you that if you still continue in sin, Christ shall profit you nothing, that Christ is no Savior to you unless He saves you from your sins, and that unless it purifies your heart, faith shall profit you nothing. Oh, when will you understand that to oppose either inward or outward holiness under color of exalting Christ is directly the act to act the part of Judas, to betray the Son of Man with a kiss. Let me read that again, guys, from John Wesley. Oh, when you will understand that to oppose either inward or outward holiness under color of exalting Christ is directly the act of Judas, or to play the part of Judas, to betray the Son of Man with a kiss. Wow. John Wesley continues. What? Make Christ destroy His own kingdom? Set Christ against holiness? Talk of Christ as saving His people in their sins? It is no better than to say He saves them from guilt, but not from the power of sin. Will you make the righteousness of Christ a cover for the unrighteousness of man, so that by this means the unrighteous of every kind shall inherit the kingdom of God? Stop. Consider. What are you doing? Who has corrupted you from the simplicity of Christ, from the purity of the gospel? Wesley continues, you did know that he that believeth is born of God, and whosoever is born of God sinneth not, 1 John 3:9. Oh, come back to the true, the pure, the old gospel. That which you received in the beginning, come back to Christ, who died to make you a holy people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. Remember from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, Revelation 2:5. For wilt thou know, O vain, O empty man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:17. And John Wesley finishes this way: do not stupidly and senselessly call holiness legalism, a silly, meaningless word. Be not afraid of being under the law of God, rather fear being under the law of sin, Romans 7:23. Love the strictest preaching best, that which most teaches holiness and searches the heart and shows you wherein you are unlike Christ, that which presses you most to love Him with all of your heart and to serve Him with all of your strength, quote unquote. What a beautiful writing from John Wesley. As Wesley so clearly refutes, and contrary to the clear counsel of God, these myth propagators teach a grace without responsibility, just as Satan did in the Garden of Eden to the first man and woman. If we are going to go by God's word, then we should conclude that their teaching alone identifies them as Satan's ministers, 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15. Those who have bought this lie view the obedience as legalistic. Wow. This is the effect of the lie of the ages. There is no new thing under the sun, beloved, Ecclesiastes 3:9. The devil is still telling his same old lies through different men and through the men of our generation who are dressed up in suits, who graduated from seminary. It's better termed cemetery, because it put any faith they did have to rest, killed it, taught them the doctrines of men in most cases. And by the way, I speak as one who has been to two Bible colleges, so I speak on both sides of the fence. And I'm glad that I'm not any longer at any of those institutions. There were some good things, and there is a very blessedness about concentrated study, but not at the expense of being led into the doctrines of men and devils that are contrary to Scripture. Okay, the enemy of our souls is still successfully using this same lie of the ages to seduce souls into doctrines of devils and ultimately damnation because they did not love the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10-12. And this is causing some of those who are saved to stumble and lose out on the blessings of living continually in faith and the blessings of eternity and obedience and unity with Christ and His saints. Grace does not facilitate sin. Divine grace has enabled the forgiveness of our sins through Christ's perfect sacrifice and teaches those who truly are saved and truly possess that grace to overcome sin, remaining pure in preparation for the return of Christ, the one who made that grace a reality. Read Titus 2:11 through 14 over and over and over. Titus 2:11 through 14. Read that over and over. Pour over those words prayerfully, beloved, no matter where you are at this point in your life. Grace grants no license for sin, but rather the ability to overcome it, to become completely victorious over it. Divine grace enables holiness of life and for the saint to be abundantly fruitful to God's glory. We are instructed not to receive God's grace in vain, or in other words, to take advantage of Him using the very grace He provided to save us and sanctify our own lives. By the grace of God, Jesus died to deliver us from all sin and sinning. Make no mistake, when you hear the subtle, no human responsibility, no fear of God teaching, you have encountered a false teaching. When you hear a grace message that lacks holiness, or any message that does not mention and speak of the holiness of Jesus Christ and how He requires that we abide in Him, that He might make us holy as we abide in Him, denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Him, then you have a false teacher and a false teaching. Run for your life. You don't need a Sunday morning church to walk with God. God never said that. He just said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Monday night is as good as God as Sunday morning. As good to God. Friday night, Thursday morning. I'm just throwing times around here to get the point across. God makes all days. We are to live and breathe Christ 24/7. He is the most beautiful being in the whole universe. Okay? David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the presence of the Lord and to behold His beautiness. His beauty, I'm sorry. He is so beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, beloved. Psalm 27:4. The scripture also says in Psalm 96:9, I believe it is, that we're to behold the beauty of the Lord and the holiness of God. That's Psalm chapter 96, verse 9, I believe it is. I'm going to read that to you, and we're going to finalize this segment. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Okay? As we have seen in the scriptures that we've talked about so far, grace demands and enables change and personal responsibility and holiness. The Lord doesn't force this. It is volitional. Loving God is a command, but yet, where there's a command, there's a choice. We're to receive not the grace of God in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain, beloved. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Don't use His grace as a liberty to believe that somehow you can go out and sin and still be right with Him. If you're going to go out and sin, just remember that if you die in that state, you are in trouble. You will not go to be with Him because you've made the deliberate decision, the volitional choice to do that which you know is contrary to His will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please cleanse our hearts from all lasciviousness and all that that means beyond what we even know. And cultivate, bolster in our hearts humility and the fear of God and a fearful reverence for Your utter holiness. Multiply to us, Lord, Your holy grace, that we might fully and frightfully and fruitfully please You as we fervently look for Your soon return. We love You, Jesus. Take away from my inner life, our inner lives, O God, any notion that You approve of any sinful thought, word, or deed. Help us to know You are holy, holy, holy. Make us holy as You are holy, Lord Jesus. And to please You and not men, O God. We fear Thee, O God, not men. Glory to Your precious name, Lord Jesus. We love You. Amen.